according to St. Luke, in the 19th chapter. Hallelujah. If you bear with me, there's 10 verses I want to read in your hearing today. Beginning in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, and when the Bible says behold, that means stop, pay attention. I want you to see this. There was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. Oh, I'm sorry. Publicans. And he was rich. Might have been a Republican. Huh? And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today, everyone say today, I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, speaking of the religious folks, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day, someone say today, is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek and to save. To seek and to save. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. To seek and to save. Let's pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, asking your help, your guidance, your anointing. Touch my lips to speak and touch every ear to hear and to receive. And Father, I pray that you would not allow one single person to leave this place the same way they came in. But Lord, do something in us. Do something through us, to us today. We give your name the praise and all the glory. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And let everyone say, in Jesus' name. Praise God. God bless you and you may be seated. Hallelujah. To seek and to save. If you would ask the question, what is this all about? Why did he come to Bethlehem? Why did he suffer such an excruciating penalty? Why are we even here? Why is there a church in this town? The answer is the same. It's to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. Lost. Being in a place of lostness. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been in a place where you're not familiar? Have you ever found yourself not knowing where to go? Not knowing what to do? Being in a place of lostness. It's not comfortable. It's not fun. Yet, in our world today, there are multitudes of people that are lost. They are lost in sin. They are lost in darkness. And as an evangelist, it is somewhat challenging to me sometimes to preach to people that are lost. Because when you tell someone they are lost, they get an attitude. Who do you think you are telling me I'm lost? Who do you think you are pointing your finger at me and telling me I'm a sinner? You're no better than I am. Don't judge. Amen. People are lost and they don't realize how lost they are, because what happens that when you're in the darkness, oh, let me tell you, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. When you're in the darkness, sometimes you can adjust to it and don't realize how lost you really are. It's like being in a very dark room. You know, with the shutters closed and the door shut and the lights are off, it is pitch black. But if you're in the darkness long enough, your eyes will adjust. And even in the darkness, you'll be able to make out a cabinet here and a chair over there. And in the darkness, you can see the dresser and the end table. In the darkness, you can, if you're in it long enough, make your way around. I can still see. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I'm all right. In the darkness, you can deceive yourself into thinking it's not as bad as what they say it is, because you've been in the dark too long. I was there. I was out there. I didn't grow up in this. That's why I appreciate it so much. That's why I love this so much. Hallelujah. I was blind, but thank God now I can see. I was lost, but thank God I've been found. I used to be in the dark. Something about Jesus. He shines his light into the darkness, and the darkness flees away. But what happens most of the time is that people that are engulfed in darkness, when the light penetrates, they don't run to the light. They run from the light. Jesus said, because their deeds are evil and they don't want to be exposed. Amen. Men love darkness more than they love the light. Hallelujah. And when the light penetrates the darkness, most people run away from it, because the light is so, sometimes it can be painful when you're in the dark. It's like coming out of a very dark room into a blazing bright room. Your eyes, when you walk into that light, your eyes close. Isn't that right? Coming out of a dark room into a room with blazing light, you can't see. But hang in there a little while. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, your eyes will begin to open, your eyes will begin to adjust, you'll be able to see the way God sees. And friend, when you come into the light, God will bring you illumination, and he'll bring you revelation, and he'll bring you understanding. And the things you used to love, you're not going to love them no more. And the things that used to have a hold on you won't have a hold on you no more. Because as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus cleanses us and keeps us and changes us. And we are set free from the darkness. And God reached into the darkness and pulled me out. And I began to walk in his light. That's when I began to understand why you act like you do. Because in the darkness, I don't understand it. What makes y'all jump and shout? What makes you weep and cry? What makes you clap your hands? What makes you act like you do in church? Some of you folks are just incredible. You folks just dance and party and sing and rejoice in a church. Are you supposed to have that much joy in church? I thought fun was in the clubs. I thought fun was in the liquor store. I thought having fun was running the streets. But how many of you know there ain't no party like a... Hallelujah. When you walk in the light, whoo, there's a love and excitement that comes into your spirit. Praise God. When I got into the light, I was like, wow, I see. I understand. I get it. And then when I look back at where he brought me from and see the darkness that I used to be in, it is gross darkness. And still in the darkness are those things that pulled on me. Those things that attached to me and they're calling my name. Come on back to the darkness. Come on back to the partying. Come on, one more drink. Come on, one more toke off of the joint. Come on, one more young lady to mess around. Come on back. We miss you out here. But once you've been into his marvelous light, once you've tasted and you see the Lord is good, there's nothing in the darkness that can substitute for what God has for us. Hallelujah. He brought me out of the darkness. And now I'm found. But until you recognize your condition, until you come to terms with the fact that you're lost, no one can help you. So the first thing you gotta do is you gotta get honest with yourself. You gotta get real with yourself. You gotta be able to confess, I am messed up. I've made some bad decisions and I'm tired of the way my life is going. I've handled this thing all this time. I'm ready to give the wheel over to Jesus and say, Lord, come on in and drive my car and take me down the straight and narrow path. I'm gonna turn it all over to you because I'm lost. I'm lost and I need to be found. If you are lost today, you're in the right place. For Jesus came for this purpose, to seek and to save him that are lost. He's seeking. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro in the earth, seeking those to show himself strong. I want somebody to know this morning, Jesus is looking for you. He's got your number. He is looking to touch you. He's looking to change you. He is seeking to save you. Hallelujah. In our text this morning from the 19th chapter of Luke, we find the story of this interesting character named Zacchaeus. The scripture describes him as a publican. Generally, a publican was a person that was something like our modern day tax collector, the IRS. Amen. And Zacchaeus was regarded by his fellow countrymen as a traitor. Why is that? Because he was a tax collector working for the Roman government. He was working for the enemy. But that wasn't bad enough. Zacchaeus also, while collecting taxes from his own brethren, he would take some for himself. He was a cheater and a liar. A money grabber. He was not popular among the masses. Zacchaeus was the kind of person you didn't want come into your church. He was the kind of person you didn't want come into your gathering. So Zacchaeus was an outsider among his own people. But he didn't care because he had money. Amen. But somewhere he heard that Jesus was in town. The man that opened blind eyes, the man that unstopped deaf ears, the man that can speak to the dead and they rise up. And Zacchaeus got curious about this man named Jesus. Zacchaeus found out that Jesus was holding revival services. He couldn't go to the church. He wasn't welcome there. But he found out the path he would be walking when service was dismissed. So Zacchaeus said, I heard he's going to be coming down this road. So being of little stature, he recognized that when the crowds would gather, he wouldn't be tall enough to look over their heads. So he spotted a sycamore tree. He skirted up that sycamore tree, got him a comfortable place among the branches. He could see out, but they couldn't see in. And Zacchaeus, his only objective was to see him. That's all. I just want to see him. I don't want to get to know him. I just want to see him. I don't want to get too close. Hallelujah. I don't want to get too spiritual. I don't want to get too carried away. I'm just curious. I just want to see him. Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree and he was watching as the service was dismissed and the crowds came out the synagogue, and here come Jesus and the multitudes coming down the path, and he could tell which one was Jesus because everything was centered around him. And as they approached the sycamore tree, Zacchaeus was looking, he was looking. And that's all he wanted to do. Just like some people come to church. Hey, preacher, don't put no pressure on me. Hey, I'm just here because that lady kept calling me and got on my nerves. I said, I'll go. That's it. I'm just here. Amen. I just heard about this church. I just came to see if what I heard is true. That's all. I did not come to this service to repent. I did not come to this service to get saved. I didn't come to pray through, and I certainly didn't come to get baptized. I'm just here. I'm just a visitor. I just want to see. That's it. And some people come to church and they hide in the branches. Now, I'm not talking about nobody in particular, but some folks love sitting in the back. But it doesn't matter where you sit. The Holy Ghost is not limited to your location. He'll move over that side of the church. He'll move on that side of the church. He'll leave the pulpit and come to the back door. He'll go to the nursery. There ain't no place you can hide from the Lord. Hallelujah. So you can sit behind that lady with the big hat if you want to. Amen. Oh Lord, that preacher looking at me. Lord have mercy, he's looking at me. Go ahead and hide, Zacchaeus. All you came to do was to look. But as Jesus approached the tree, Zacchaeus was like, there he is. That's him. That's the man they're talking about. That's the one they say is the Messiah. And he's watching as Jesus approached the tree. And when Jesus got right to the tree, he stopped. Uh-oh. I'm just going to get real quiet right now. What's he doing? Jesus looked up. Oh. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, Lord have mercy. He called me by my name. Nobody introduced us, but he knows my name. I'm going to tell you, he knows your name. Jesus know you. He knows you. He got your address. He got your zip code. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your name. And he looked up and called him by his name. Zacchaeus. Everybody looked up. He went, oh, Lord, everybody looking at me. Jesus said, come down. And in order to get what God has for you, the first thing you got to do is come down. You got to come down off your pride. You got to come down off your arrogant attitude. You got to come down from your place of security. You got to be willing to open yourself up and humble yourself in the presence of the Lord. You can't stay up there, amen, and think you know everything. You've got to come down. And then he said, and make haste. That means hurry up. Hurry up. Whatever you do today, hurry up. Because we don't have a lot of time left, folks. We are too close to the coming of the Lord to be playing around. You procrastinated too long already. You put God off too long already. He wants you to make haste. He wants you to make up your mind. He wants you to make a move. When? Today. Come down. You know what Zacchaeus did? He came down. And he hurried up. He scrambled down that tree. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, we're canceling all our plans. Today, I'm going with you home. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? God don't just want to have a relationship with you in the building. He don't just want you to feel this in the sanctuary. He wants to take you home. He wants to go with you on your job. He wants to go with you to the mall. He wants to go with you to school. He wants to be with you everywhere you go. You can feel this out in the street. You can feel this out there. Hallelujah. Touch somebody and say, he wants to go home with you. Don't come to church and leave Jesus in the church. Take him home with you. Take this Holy Ghost home with you. Take this experience home with you. I want to go home with you today. Zacchaeus said, oh man, Jesus wants to come to my house, my dinky little filthy house. The house where nobody knocks. My house where nobody visits. Because of what I am, Jesus will go to the red light district of town. Jesus will go to the low income apartments. Jesus will go to the lowest place where folks like us don't even dare to tread. He don't care what your pedigree is or what lifestyle you've been living. He's knocking on your door. He's seeking you. He's looking for you. If you don't come to where Jesus is, he will come to where you are. He'll come to where you are. He will come to where you are. Oh, I wish I had time. I don't have time. But I would love to tell you about the night that Jesus came to the club. I'll never forget that night, Lord. I used to be a DJ. Oh, yes, Brother Easter was a disc jockey. Spinning those record albums. Some of you young people don't know what that is. But I was out there spinning those record albums, talking that stuff on the microphone. People dancing and carrying on, smoking, drinking, getting drugs, all this stuff. Didn't think about church. Didn't like church. Didn't want to hear nothing about church. I was too busy partying. But one night, Jesus came to the club. Woo, hallelujah. You're going to have to invite me back to tell that story. No. He wants to go home to your house. And when Jesus announced he was going to Zacchaeus' house, there were some people who had a problem with that. Religious folks. Holy than thou folks. You know, Jesus had more challenges with religious people than he had with sinners. See, one thing about religious folk, they already know everything. Can't tell them nothing. I can't believe he walking up in some man's house that's a sinner. I can't believe that they saved Rahab, a harlot. You had to go to her house to be saved. I ain't going up in there. Hallelujah. Religious people, they miss it. But Jesus went to his house. And when you get in, when you get in close proximity with Jesus, things begin to happen. Things begin to change. And you've been wanting a change in your life. You've been wanting things to happen. You want things to turn around. Let me tell you, get close to Jesus. Hallelujah. You can't get close to Jesus and keep being what you've always been. You can't do it. It don't work that way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Something happened to Zacchaeus when Jesus came to his house. Zacchaeus, he went back in the back of his little place and he came out with all this stuff. And he said, Lord, let me show you. I'm gonna restore everything I ever stole. I'm going to restore everything I've ever taken fourfold. Hallelujah. Jesus looked at him and said, my goodness, man, you changed. He said, I mean business. See, when you come to God, you got to mean business. You can't be coming playing. You can't have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You might be able to do that at the church down the street, but you can't do that in this church because the word of God is going to cut you. It's going to make you uncomfortable. You're not going to be able to sit here and live like the devil without conviction gripping your soul. God is going to want to change you. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus change, he smiled and said, today, this salvation has come to this household. Because see, when Jesus saves you, he will change you. And I like to tell folks this. If your religion does not change you, you need to change your religion. You need to go somewhere that's going to challenge you to put away those things and challenge you to separate from the world. Challenge you to live holy and righteous before God. Salvation came to his house. And Jesus is not done. He's still seeking. He's still saving. I see more people coming to God now than I've ever seen. Services after service, revival after revival, all over the country, multitudes of people are turning around. They're tired of church as usual. They're tired of shaking the preacher's hand and sat in a car or just repeating a sinner's prayer and nothing changed. People are wondering, where is it that's real? Where is it that I can really be different? I'm telling you, friend, God has put a church in this town that'll give you the opportunity you've been looking for. God wants to come to your house. He wants to seek you out. He wants to save your soul. Lost. Jesus spoke about the lost in the same book a few chapters previous to this. He talked about three lost things. I want to hit on them very briefly. There was the lost lamb, the lost son, and the lost coin. Lost. The lost lamb. The shepherd had 100 sheep. And he went out and started counting. And he counted 99. Somebody's missing. Why are you so concerned, Pastor? Somebody's not here today. Pastor, they okay? No. I'm concerned. They didn't call. They didn't let me know. See, that's why, saints, it's important to communicate. You may think, it's no big deal. I just overslept. Pastor, don't panic. But see, the pastor knows there's a wolf out there. There's a lion out there salivating for your soul. And when he counts the sheep and don't see you, he gets concerned. So don't get mad when he starts calling you up, asking you where you've been. Amen? That shepherd locked up the sheepfold and went searching for that one little lamb, that precious little lamb. When I look at that little lamb, I see innocence. I see a cute little fluffy little lamb. I don't know how it got out, but it did. And it got far away. It got out there in the wilderness. And when that little lamb turned around. He didn't know, well, which way did I go to get back? I'm lost. And a wolf picked up the scent of that little lamb. And he started prowling. And he spotted that little lamb. And he very carefully approached that lamb. But on the other side was the shepherd with his staff and his rod in his hand. And there began a tug of war for the soul of that lamb. I'm telling you, folks, there's a fight going on for your soul today. Hallelujah. God is reaching for you right now. But that old devil, he's reaching for you too. Hallelujah. Who wins depends on what direction you go in. But I thank God that the shepherd didn't stay. He came looking for that lamb. Why did the shepherd look for the lamb? Because the lamb did not know how to get back. And there's some people that get away from God. And they don't know how to get back. They don't know how to be saved. So the shepherd comes looking for you. And when the shepherd found that lamb, his heart rejoiced. He went back to the sheepfold, put that lamb in the sheepfold, and rejoiced. Because that which was lost, now I was found. Then there was the lost son. The lost son, that son, grew up in the father's house. He knew what it was to live right. He knew what it was to experience God. None of this was strange to him. He grew up in church. But something about the twinkling of the world, something about the allurement of the world began to pull on his heart. And all the things he'd been told, don't partake of, don't get involved, all those things started looking appetizing to him. That forbidden fruit looks mighty juicy. Amen. Some of y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Go ahead and sit there and look like, oh, holy, holy, holy. It looked juicy. It looked sweet. And you know what? It is. I ain't going to lie to you. Sin is fun. Amen. For a season. For a little while. It's chocolate-coated poison. It tastes good going down, but it'll kill you in the end. Hallelujah. That boy, there was something about sin, something about the world that he wanted to go out and, well, you know, I got to experience it for myself. I mean, how can I preach to crackheads unless I'm a crackhead? I've heard people say stuff like that. I got to go out there and see what's going on. I want to try this and try that. Go ahead at your own risk. You go right ahead. And that's what that son did. He turned his back on the father's house and went out there. And he lost everything. Eating with the pigs. And every time he woke up, he was miserable. And then when he thought about, when was my life together? In church. When was I the happiest? In church. When I felt the best, it was back when you was in church. When you was at the altar praying. When you was doing Bible studies. That's when you was at your best. Don't you miss it now? You miss it now, don't you? But you know what? You got too much pride to come back home. But you know what the lost son? The lost son out there in the pig's pen. And he's saying, here I am. Here. Are you all by myself? And they know I'm out here. And ain't nobody call me. Ain't nobody come out here try to get me. They don't love me. I knew something was wrong with them in the first place. I ain't going back to somebody. Listen, ain't nobody coming at you. You notice the father didn't come after the son. The shepherd came after the sheep because the sheep didn't know how to get back. The father didn't go after the son because the son knew how to get back. Hallelujah. And some of you have made some mistakes. And some of you have made some wrong turns. But you've been exposed to the truth long enough. You know how to get on your knee. You know how to repent of your sin. God is waiting for you. I say he's waiting for you. Come on, back home. Quit being out there. Come on, I'm waiting. Turn around. Hallelujah. That's the lost son. Then it was the lost coin. Jesus said this woman had a string of coins. It was 10 coins. And I don't know why they were so valuable. I know they were because she lost one coin. And she couldn't be satisfied. I gotta find that coin. But I'm going to tell you something. That coin was lost in the house. The sheep left. The son left. But this was lost in. It never left. You can be lost in the church. See, it takes more than just showing up. It takes more than just being at the church. You got to be in the church. You got to be in the body of Christ. It's not enough to sit there and look all pious and spiritual, because people are in pews today still going to hell and just thinking, just because I'm here, I'm okay. No, you're not. The coin was lost in the house, never left. And the woman said, oh my goodness, I can't do nothing till I find that lost coin. And she said, turn on the light, take out the broom, and start to sweep. Hallelujah. Cleaning house. Cleaning house. Some of you sitting in here right now, if the rapture took place, you'd be left behind. You need to get God, turn on the light. God, get that Holy Ghost broom out. There's some things in my life that shouldn't be there. There's some things I'm doing I shouldn't be doing. Places I'm going I shouldn't be going. Oh God, clean me up. Don't let me be lost. Don't let me be lost. What's going on? God is seeking. He's looking. He's reaching. He's coming after you. When? Today. He's reaching for you today. Because see, you're either right now, at this moment, right now, you're either in the church or you're not. There's no middle. Right this moment, you are either on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. One or the other. You're either saved or you're not saved. There's no middle road. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. Which side you gonna play on? Zacchaeus, come down and hurry up. Because we don't have a lot of time. He wants to go home with you. In closing, I want to tell you something I read about this event that took place in the early part of the 1900s. It's about this huge ship called the Titanic. They said it was a marvel cruise ship, the first of its kind. And they bragged about how strong it was and how it would never sink. But that night, you hit the iceberg. You damaged the hull. Water came in. You know the story. The ship began to sink. People was jumping on lifeboats and scrambling for their very lives. As the word began to circulate and spread that morning, early, early, early that morning, as loved ones began to hear about the tragedy, people ran to the docks. Have you heard anything? My grandma's on that boat. My cousin's on that boat. I got some friends on that boat. Have you heard anything? We got word. We got news. We got names. Who made it? Who didn't make it? It was so many names. They said that they put a huge board on the dock with a line in the center. And with chalk, they began to record the names as the word came in. The first column said, saved. The second column, lost. And his word came in. and the names came in, they would place them in the appropriate column. Family and friends gathered watching, hearts beating, scared out of their minds. Which column will the name go in? When it was all said and done, there were more names in the lost column than there were in the saved. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and only a few will find it. But broad is the gate that leads to damnation. Sadly, many will go in thereat. Brothers and sisters, which side of the column is your name going to be on today? You're either going to be saved or you're going to be lost. And I'm going to tell you something. God loves you so much. He has done everything he can do to make sure you make it. You got to go to hell mighty bad to reject his outstretched hands. He's coming after you. He's seeking you. He is pressuring. I want you to stand with me today. People are like, man, I don't like this. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable. That preacher, he's pushing me. Don't push me. Hey, preacher, I don't want you to, don't be pressuring me. I'll come when I get ready. When you get ready. Like you can set the date. No. See, you got it wrong. You got it backwards. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord now while he may be found. Which means he's not guaranteed to be there when you get ready. See, the fact is, he's ready now. He set the appointment. He puts your name in his book. He sets the date. You know what he says? Today is the day of salvation. But you say, hey man, I just wanted to look. That's all I want to do. I just want to look. I just want to check things out. I want to check things out. No, you need to come down. I'm not ready yet. I got some things in my life. Listen, I tried this. Come down and hurry up. Because the longer you wait, the longer you put it off, the easier it becomes to keep waiting. Brother, I'm honest with you, man. I mean, there's some things in my life. I know it's not right, but I tried to stop. I tried to quit. And I got to get myself together first before I do. No. Hey, you can't get yourself together. See, if you could, you wouldn't need God. Yeah, but brother, I don't want to be no hypocrite. I don't want to step out there and do all this and act all this and then go back out here with these habits and addictions and all this stuff I'm dealing with. You don't understand. Yes, I do understand. I had them too. But I know God. Because see, this is what God says. God says, you do what you can do. I'll do what you can't do. And so, Jesus is moving by your way and he stopped. He's stopping by your chair. He stopped. He's looking at you. Young lady, he's looking at you. He loves you. And what he's saying? He's saying, come down. This altar area where these steps are is where we gather to pray, and we pray for you. Jesus is saying to you, whether you're in the church or out the church, if anything in your life is not right, you're not ready, he's looking for you. He's seeking you out, and his word is come. Come down. All over this building, if you feel God dealing with you, would you obey his word? Come unto me. All ye that labor, come. All of you that are heavy laden, come. All of you that need sanctuary and safety, come. All of you that desire to escape the coming wrath of God that's reserved for all unbelievers and Christ rejectors and those that are rebellious and sinners and those that would dare call God a liar. You want to escape that judgment? Come. It doesn't matter what background you have, what church you're a member of. Jesus says, today is your day. Come. He wants to touch you. Would you begin to ask him right now to forgive you? Would you be honest with yourself and tell God, I'm coming down off this tree. I'm coming down off the hobby horse. I'm coming down off my pride. God, I need you. I'm sorry. I did not know. In my ignorance, I've been messing up. I didn't know. I still don't know. But I'm reaching out. I'm trusting you, please. Help me, God. I'm breaking myself before you, Lord. I'm going to trust you, God. You're greater than my problems. You're greater than my sickness. You're greater than my habits.